I can only imagine that conversation. You make me think of the times that I spent with my dad. I think the closest I ever got to my dad was after he, my dad developed dementia about 3 years before he passed, a rough 3 years. But, and we never had any, I'll call it bonding. It's maybe something that happens, or maybe you'd want to call it something else, good time together. I can go through life and pick out, oh, when I sat on his lap and he let me steer the wheel while he used the pedals. You know, I was so small, but he let me drive the car when I had no business driving the car. I was frightened, but he had his hands on it too, or close by, you know. That's a memory that sticks with me. And then after his dementia, he needed a haircut. Now, Chad, I had never cut anybody's hair before. But I can do pretty well anything with my hands. And I did a fairly decent job, but it wasn't the important thing. The memory of it is dear to me because, you know, I was doing something for him. So in a small way, still important to me, but in a small way, I can understand how it was to be with your dad and what a marvelous time. You will always remember that. KK4 JPQ.
We, like I said, we had a ball. I had a really good time. And so we left Seward next, and then let me tell you, so while the captain made me come sit up in front of the boat, he's got to take a look at some of his radios, you know. And he's got a big plaque in there, you know, FCC, got his license posted, you know, maritime license from the FCC to operate the marine radios, and all of his radios were ICOM, you know, radios, VHF, UHF, and one HF. His HF rig was still in the box. He didn't have it hooked up. I asked him about that, and he said, well, you know, we can stay in contact with VHF and UHF. I'm required to have one, but we, you know, it's kind of one of them deals. But the FCC requires that there be a placard on the boat that instructs anybody on the vessel in the event of an emergency on how to use the radio. It's an FCC requirement, you know. And it's broken down into sinking. Use these rules. if the captain's dead, you use these rules, that kind of thing. And you know, so I was reading through that, you know, and thing interesting for me was if the vessel is sinking, it's SOS. If something else is wrong, it's pon pon pon, P-A-N-P-A-N. I still haven't figured out what that means, but and then there's instructions on, you know, go to UHF channel 17 and ask for the pier master or wharf master or whoever, you know. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Took some pictures of his radios, and we are trying to work a deal out with him. So let me tell you the deal. Let me make sure I got it. I told him, you know, while I was in my being punished for being up front, I told him that, you know, I was a ham radio operator from South Carolina. And so he got mad when I told him that, and he said, we got this guy that comes, and all the radios on the entire fleet have to be certified once a year. And he charges them $500 to do every boat to come and certify the radios on the boat. So I got to thinking, I said, well, you know, what if I go through the training so I can be one of these FCC and inspectors to inspect the boat? And, I mean, I get free flights with the military because I'm a veteran. I can fly up there for free and come and certify the whole fleet for a couple of fishing trips. Now, does that not sound like a deal to you? I mean, that is kind of taking ham radio to the extreme, but, I mean, you go work on a radio, you enjoy doing that, and you enjoy fishing. Why can't you mix them both together? What do you think about that?
Huge enterprise. And that's a good thing. That's a great quality to have. Look for anything that can, you know, well, as you put it, your transportation there hasn't cost you an arm and leg. It does most people, as you know. And then you can earn bukus of money doing a service. And, I mean, what can, and have a lot of fun at the same time. Well, doors like that don't open every day. Actually, doors like that don't open for most people at all. Sounds real good. The first time I ever heard of this kind of thing, I don't know if you're acquainted with Gordon West. He writes a lot of books for amateur radio, for commercial radios also, and for marine radios. And I watched a great deal of his videos on a podcast called Ham Nation. And every once in a while, he would, you know, go through. So I heard the spiel, you know, two or three times. And how advantageous it was for someone who had gone through the amateur radio license group of licenses. And if you want more, he says, if you want more, there is more. And he writes all the study guides for the ARRL now. He's taken over from whoever did it before. He did that shortly after Bob Heil passed, which wasn't that long ago. But he became the author of all of their license study material. It's quite a process, as I understand it, but with a little bit of extra testing equipment, calibrating equipment, you might say, you can, well, the way he put it, in a half an hour, you can earn a good wage. KK4JBQ.
Roger, that's KL4NUE. So, after that, we didn't want to meet. We just too much to try to figure out how to get back. We stayed at the military reservation down on Seward, which saved us a lot of money. But and they got a facility there to skin the fish, clean the fish, and ship it and pack it and all that. But we didn't. We just divided it up on the boat and let everybody have, you know, because they were out there fishing for meat, and Dad and I were just there to, you know, kind of have a good time. So from there, we went back up to Anchorage, stayed in a historic hotel there that survived the earthquake, and then the next morning, we got on a train to go to Talkeetna, about a 6-hour ride And we got, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes up the track, and then they stopped the train and backed it up. We had to get off. There was a forest fire up until Keetna, and they had to take the train up there to evacuate the people from Talkeetna back to Anchorage. So we didn't get to ride on our train, but that's okay. We left and then went on to the Air Force base there, and got to see two F-35 Raptors take off. Took a couple of pictures of them taking off. I think I was supposed to do that, but I stuck them anyway. and then we came on back to Anchorage and spent the rest of our time and met a guy from another country. I don't know who he was. He's studying to be a mechanical engineer. And we were eating lunch at the restaurant. Let me write radio drop. He was our waitress, and he was on a work visa to get his work on his finish his degree. I can't remember what country he was from. He spoke in English, but he was bringing our food out, and he kept staring at me, and got one of the other fellas over here, and they were over here just talking. Well, he came over and he said, "You look familiar." He said, "Are you?" On YouTube by chance. And I said, "Well, sure, I have a YouTube channel." And he said, "You're the engine builder." I said, "Yeah." And oh man, he went on and on. We talked and talked and this, that, and the other. So I gave him my number. He's supposed to come by at the end of August and spend a week here at the guest house. And we got an engine down there we're going to build. So I'm kind of looking forward to him coming. And, so it's a decent trip. We had a really good time.
Wow. That's a very long distance connection. You never know. I guess if you keep your options open, you know, and you're friendly enough, I guess he was friendly enough, and he had something in common. How about that, dude? He watched your YouTube channel. The world is, I don't care how big it is, every once in a while it gets tiny when you make a connection like that. Well, yeah, that should be a... So you say he speaks broken English. He's going to learn a little more English when he's with you, I suppose. And you might be able to identify what kind of language he's speaking.
I have a guy from until COVID hit. When COVID hit, they kind of interrupted our cycle, but I met him on YouTube. He worked for the German TUF, T-U-F, which is kind of like their DMV. But their inspection process, they inspect German vehicles. It ain't nothing like ours. It's pretty extensive. And he worked in the mechanical department. So he made contact with me several years ago from watching some of the videos and asked if he could come by and visit. And I said, sure, be glad to. Didn't speak much English, and I haven't done gum. One day he showed up, just strange fellow walking down the driveway. His name's Josef. Josef, I forget his last name, but we hit it off. We went straight down to the shop. I took some videos and put that up on YouTube so he could show all his friends in Germany. And we worked on an engine down in the shop. Did not speak any German. He didn't speak any English, but we learned real quick that it when you have something in common, that circumvents any language barrier that you may have. And he stayed, he stayed a week last time he was here. And one night we cooked barbecue, and then the next night he cooked German. But I had to take him to, strange fella, I had to take him to a butcher shop because he wants some meat cut a certain way, and he made the egg noodles, and I mean, it's good, really good food, you know. And of course, I had to have beer everywhere, you know. But that's just, I mean, they drink that like water in Germany, I guess. But so anyway, I'm looking forward to him coming and just, you know, getting to meet all kind of new people. It'll be kind of interesting. I'll let you know how it turns out.
Tell that story. Just emphasizes that, oh, gracious. Even if you don't share a common language, if you share a common interest, that's sometimes enough. And you're familiar with machinery, and he's familiar with machinery, and maybe hand signals were more prevalent than words. I don't know why, but I thought of when my dad was teaching me how to, I was just big enough to hand him tools, you know, and he thought I was ready for another step. So he was working on brakes at the time. And, you know, with a, I don't know, there's a name for the thing you scoot underneath the car. It's a kind of a roller thing you roll underneath the car. So I had never seen the backside of a wheel and a brake drum. So he did tell me all the names of things. But anyway, most of what I remember from that experience was my dad's hands. You know, my dad had a working man's hands. And I thought to myself, am I going to be like that when I grow up? Am I going to know what to do with stuff out here in the world? Am I going to be able to fix it? I don't know. I think I'm blessed with being able to remember certain things like that, especially about my dad, that, well, I don't know how else to say it. They comfort me, you know. It's good to still have a good memory of important times and important people. Well, that's just a fine thing, a real fine thing. I know Donna and I enjoyed and have talked about the day that you took us through your shop and the many different things that we saw. Some of them related, of course, to the shop, and some of them not related to the shop. You've got a fine place there. So I wonder how your son is doing with his shop work. I think he's still working in the shop there, isn't he?
Working in the shop. He bought a house. Grandmother passed away, and when it got out of probate, he bought Grandma's house. So he's living about a half mile up the road now. And then his work truck tore up on him last week, 2 weeks ago. Just wasn't going to be able to, he's not going to fix it. Just too much wrong with it. So he went and bought him a used truck 2 days ago, wanting me to go with him. So he's got a nice work truck now, and doing really good in the shop. He's had to hire a fella to help him out, young fella. And I don't mess with him. I mean, he's every now and then he'll get frustrated with something and can't figure out what to do, and then he we'll go down there and get it figured out. But I couldn't be prouder, I guess. I mean, he's I can't say enough good things about him. I mean, he's really, really figured things out, and got his nose down, figured out what he needs to do, and takes a break when he can, but it's usually 12, 14, 16 hours a day sometimes. And, so yeah, I'm tickled. KO4NUE.
That is one way a person measures their life. Someday we'll all leave here, but when that day does come, I'm sure one of the last things you think about is what you leave behind. And you're nowhere near having that, you're nowhere near anticipating those thoughts. But maybe give you 20 years and you'll be thinking, you know. But it shouldn't be scary. It's not. But you do get concerned. Now, to leave people behind, well, it's hard in one way. But in another way, especially if they're sons or daughters, that's your treasure that you will leave behind. That's every bit a part of you, you know. Must be real comforting. Even now, of course, as they grow up right in front of you. And all of yours now, I suppose yours, you have an empty nest. You and Anna are what they call empty nesters, but that comes with a special bonus. They're out there and they're finding their way in the world with just about everything you gave them, you know. It's a special thing. KK4, JBQ.
Patty's, Abby's doing well. She's finished Clemson. And she's got a job at one of the local towns as a social service. So she's working with young kids in one of the nearby towns. And Lewis is going back to get his master's degree so he can try to jump up in pay a little bit. Grandson's still doing, you know, he's healthy as all get out. And just, you know, chunky fella. Strong as an ox, you know. So I told Anna the other day, I said, I need to go buy him another rifle. So I went and got him another little 22. I don't know how many 22s I bought him. I got in there in the gun cabinet, but
okay. That'd be good, I suppose. Oh, gracious. Well, I've got some pictures of him when still in swaddling clothes, if you know what I mean. But they grow fast, don't they? I can't imagine. I'm sure he's still toddling along, but he's probably trying to walk, isn't he?
He's not quite figured out how to crawl yet. He's getting there. But he needs some more time, I guess. But we get to keep him a couple of weekends, I think, from now. We get to actually try to spend the night with him, so we're gonna kind of see how that goes. He's kind of attached to Mama, so I don't know. I'll let you know how that works out too.
My first thought there is follow Anna's lead. That would be a challenge, you know. Well, one of the biggest ones if he's, and of course he's attached to Mama, but if she's nowhere to be seen, and it's mostly sight, you know, at this age, if Mama's not to be seen, Anna's going to do the very best job she can, you know, putting a female face in front of his, and just follow her lead. I never had children, of course, and so having a relationship with a small child, my only experience is with my young sister. I was 13 when she was born, and my folks never hired a babysitter. I took care of the baby, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. It would not come to me any other way. I don't know if you can appreciate that, or how much, being on deployment, you were involved in a very big way when your children were growing up, involved far, far away. But we all have different special things, I'll call it, different special things in our life. And that's our reward for the other struggles, I suppose, KK4JBQ.
So now I'm sending you some videos to take a look at, and I've been meaning to send them to you, but just kind of got tied up with the club and repeater and all that. So, but other than that, things are pretty. Oh yeah, we got last day on the way back. Anna and I got COVID. I think we probably picked it up on the airplane, and I don't know, it's been 3 weeks now trying to recover from that. It's the second time I've had it, but this time, just, boy, I'm telling you, I still haven't got my strength back, but we're all better for it, I guess, and it's done, so no sense complaining about it. But anyway, well, I sent you a bunch of pictures to take a look at, videos that keep you occupied for about an hour or so. But Larry, I'm gonna duck on out, I guess, start showing my tire just a little bit. You tell Miss Donna I said hello, and it's KO4NUE. I'll be clear on your final, bud.
Thank you for this little visit. It's nice to talk with you again, to catch up a little bit. Life keeps unwinding, don't it? And shouldn't let too much water run down the stream before we catch up again. I feel a little weird also, a little weird and wasted. I haven't done anything to warrant my exhaustion, but I do feel that maybe it's being out in the heat. That's the one thing that still puzzles me about heat. You can work hard as long as you can, your body can do what your body normally does, cool itself off with evaporation. But now here, evaporation doesn't come easy. With the humidity as high as we have had, higher than normal, I hear. I don't keep up with such things as that, but boy, you can go out in the water. The air is thick to breathe, and it feels strange to walk around in because it's so much humidity. Well, this too will pass, of course, and I sure hope it does. Weather's being kind of funny. Extremes, some people say. So maybe we'll have extreme heat and humidity right now, and maybe it'll turn off cold sooner than we expect. Who knows? We'll just keep pushing on through. Get yourself some good rest, Chad. Great to talk with you. And we'll do it real soon again, I hope. This is KK4JBQ. I'll be gone. 7-3.